Acts chapter 27, from which we read a moment ago, Paul was on his way to Rome. He was on his way to Rome because he'd been arrested for preaching Christ. The Jews wanted him killed. And in Acts chapter 26, the chapter before the one in which we read, he had appeared before the Roman governor Festus and the Jewish king Agrippa. And they had tried him. They were going to send him to Rome anyway. But Paul go ahead and made the appeal to go to Caesar because he thought he'd get a fair trial there than where he was. And so they delivered him to a centurion by the name of Julius, and he was under guard on his way to Rome to stand before Caesar. They got on a ship to cross the Mediterranean Sea, and a storm came up. In verse 14, the Bible says, "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind." And they did the same thing that we do today. They named their hurricanes. They named their storms. And they put a name on this one. And I don't know what kind of boat they were in. It was probably a sailboat. Probably had sails. Probably had oars. But it doesn't really matter what kind of boat that it was. If you're in the middle of a hurricane, if you're in the middle of the storm, your life is in danger. Your life is threatened by the storm. Many in this auditorium this morning are in the middle of a storm. It's a storm that may have been brewing for a while. It's a storm that may have existed for a while. Maybe it's a storm that just has come up suddenly. But if the truth be known, many people here this morning feel like they're in a small little boat in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of a storm, and you're holding on for dear life. You're wondering if you're going to make it through the day. You're wondering if the storm will ever end. As I mentioned a moment ago, I have a two-part message today. This morning, I want to mention four things, four lessons that we can learn from the storm. And then tonight, I want to preach a sermon on how to get through the storm. But this morning, I want to look at storms that not only arose in Paul's life, as we read about here in Acts chapter 27, but storms that come up in our life. First thing I would tell you about the storms is that we don't get to decide if and when they come. Paul didn't get to decide. He wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to preach the gospel to Rome. The Romans were giving him a free trip. They were giving him a free passage as he was arrested and put on this boat and taken to Rome. He had several of his companions with him. Many think that he'd already won the centurion to Christ. Julius was we talked about it a little bit Wednesday night. All the centurions that are mentioned in the New Testament are talked about in a favorable light. But Julius, on this trip to Rome, they stopped one place, and he gave Paul the opportunity to go visit with his friends. And at the end of the story, which we'll talk more about tonight, when the ship was wrecked because of the storm, the rest of the soldiers said, "Let's kill all the prisoners. Let's just kill them, because if they escape, it'll be our life for theirs." That was the law back in that day. If you were guarding a prisoner and they escaped, your life was given in the place of that prisoner. And so the other soldiers said, "Let's just kill all the prisoners." But Julius, the Bible says, in order to save Saul, said, "No, we're not going to kill any of them. We'll just see if they can make it to shore with us." There were 276 people on that ship. They didn't get together and cast the ballot and say, "Let's have a hurricane today." They didn't do that. They didn't get together and have an all-night prayer meeting and say, "God, would you please send a storm?" The Bible says they got in a ship and there arose against it a tempestuous wind. Joseph didn't get to vote when he was sold into slavery and separated from his family, as his brothers despised and were jealous of him and sold him to the traitors. He didn't get to vote on that. Job didn't have a vote when he lost all his animals and all his children died and his health was taken away from him and his wife cursed him and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Job didn't get to have a vote in that. Some of the storms that come in our life come as a result of disobedience. Lot has a lot of storms in his life, and it was because he made some poor choices. But most of the time, for the most part, storms come not because of disobedience. Storms just come. We don't get to decide if or when they come. You didn't get to vote when your mom or dad died. You didn't get to vote if you lost your spouse. You didn't get to vote if you've lost a child, either a miscarriage or child that was older and they died before mom and dad did. You didn't get a vote for that. You didn't get a vote when your health went bad. You didn't get a vote when your parents divorced. We don't get to decide if and when the storms in our life come. They just come. Number two, lesson we can learn from this storm. It's work to hang on in the storm. It's work to hang on. In verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat." What the writer of Acts was saying, Dr. Luke, and he was on this ship with Paul, what he was saying, hey, when we got into the middle of this storm, it was hard work just to hang on. It was hard work just to stay in the ship. It's a lot of work if you're on a ship in the middle of the storm just to stay there. I mean, it's not like sitting on the deck, rubbing your copper tone on and sipping lemonade. That's not what it's like in the middle of the storm. It's not just sitting there and ordering something from the waiter and eating. It's work to stay on the ship. And some of you this morning are in the middle of the storm, and it's a struggle every day. Every day it's a battle. It takes all your strength just to hang on. And I say that this morning to remind us that we need to be good to those people that are around us that are going through the storms. Sometimes we know people are going through the storms, and sometimes we try to be a help and we say, I know exactly how you feel. That's not true. We do not know exactly how we feel. I've learned to say, instead of saying, I know how you feel, I try to say, I can only imagine how you feel. And that's all I can do, is try to imagine. I have no idea how you feel. Neither does anybody else. Sometimes we quote Bible and we say, hey, all things work together for good. God must have a purpose in this storm that you're going through. And although that may be true, it doesn't bring very much comfort to somebody going through the storm. I mean, I had a guy tell me one time, he was going through some rough times in his life, and I quoted that verse to him. And he says, well, how come you're not going through it? If it's good for me, why isn't it good for you? Why has God picked on me, and why hasn't he picked on you? And I've quit saying that. All things work together for good. I think it's true, but it doesn't bring much comfort to somebody going through the storm. Some other people might say, well, it'll be worth it all when we get to heaven. And it may be worth it all when we get to heaven. But that's not very much comfort when your heart is aching. That's not very much comfort when your teenage son or daughter have gone to be with the Lord and you miss them every day. That's not very much comfort when your parent dies, when your mom or dad leaves this earth and goes to heaven. That's not very much comfort in the middle of that storm. It's not much comfort when your health is gone and every day you get up and you don't know how you're going to feel, whether you're going to feel bad or whether you're going to feel good. Look, people that are in a storm need our love. People in a storm need our prayer. We need to cut them some slack and be good to them. And by the way, we don't always know when people are going through a storm. There are people here this morning, I'm sure you've greeted them, that you ask them, how you doing? And they've smiled and said, oh, I'm doing good. Everything's wonderful. But if the truth be known, they're just hanging on for dear life. The waves are rolling, the wind is blowing, they've got their fingernails dug into the deck, so to speak, and they're hanging on for dear life. But they put a smile on their face and they answer the question, how you doing? I'm doing fine. So this morning I remind each person, let's be good to those people around us. Some of them we know are going through a storm, others that we don't. Let's be good to everybody. And so we don't get to decide if and when a storm comes. It's work to hang on in the middle of the storm. Number three, a storm causes us to reevaluate what's important. Verses 18 and 19, "And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship." The third day they cast out the equipment that was on the ship. The third day they cast out the depth finder. I know they didn't have depth finder, but I didn't know what they had back then, so I'm using what I know today. They cast out the depth finder. They cast out the radar. They cast out all the new ropes that they didn't need. They cast out all the fancy flags that they had. All the things that were important before the storm, they realized in the storm that they weren't so important. That's what time does. And storms compress time. Storms and time cause us to reevaluate what's important. That's why we have garage sales. We go to the mall. We see this shirt with a little check mark on it. Got to have that. Pay $40 for a t-shirt. We go to the mall. We see these tennis shoes that light up and play jingle bells when we walk. Pay $80 for a pair of tennis shoes. And then a few weeks or a few months later, they're on a table in our garage with a little piece of paper that says 25 cents. A buck. And the treasures that were once treasures are now for sale. That's what happens when a storm comes. That's what happens every day when you're hanging on for dear life and you wonder if you're going to make it through the day. You realize that the things that you thought important before aren't so important anymore. Storms cause us to reevaluate what's important. And then number four, storms cause us to realize that the main mission is in life is to help those in the boat with us to make it safely to shore. That's what happens in the middle of the storm. You realize that the things you thought were important in life and the things that you've given your life to, the goals that you have in your life, the mission that you have in your life, and it's okay. We ought to have missions. We ought to have goals in our life. We didn't read the verses a moment ago. We'll talk about them some more tonight, but I want to read them just for you this morning, verses 37 and 38. "And we were all in the ship, 200, threescore, and 16 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea." This boat wasn't primarily a passenger liner. This boat primarily was a cargo ship. The main mission of this boat was to move cargo, in this case wheat, from point A to point B, and then sell it and make a profit for the owner of the ship or the captain. Again, its main purpose was not to transport passengers. Its main purpose was to move wheat, to conduct business, was to make money for those that owned it. But in the storm, all that changed. Captain gave the order. Said, "We're going to eat what we need, and then we're going to throw the rest of the wheat overboard." I'm sure some of the sailors came to the captain because their pay depended on it. Said, "But Captain, the main mission of this ship is to move wheat. The main mission of this ship is to move cargo. If we throw the wheat overboard, we'll have nothing to sell. No profit." And the captain said, "Listen to me. The main mission of this trip no longer is to make money. The main mission of this trip is to get these 276 people safely to shore." All of us have a mission in life, and that's okay. We ought to have missions. We ought to have goals. We ought to have something that we're working for. We start out in our life and we have the goals. Well, I just want to make a living and be able to provide for my family. I want us to be able to live comfortably. I want us to enjoy some of the nice things of life. I want us to have a nice house and a nice car. And then I want to be able to retire and we can live our retirement with no worries. But then a storm comes and we realize that our main mission in life is not to make money. It's not to live comfortably. It's not to have a worry-free retirement. Our main mission in life is to help those that are in the boat with us. Amen. Our family, our moms, our dads, our brothers, our sisters, our children, our grandparents. Our main mission in life is not to make money. Our main mission in life is to help those in the boat with us get safely to shore. And the shore I'm talking about is not an earthly shore, it's a heavenly shore. The shore I'm talking about this morning is heaven. The main mission in our life is not to enjoy the things of this earth, although there's nothing wrong with enjoying the things of this earth. God provided them for us to enjoy. Everything he put in this earth, he put for the people that he created. He put them here for us to enjoy them. And I'm not saying we shouldn't enjoy the things of earth, but I'm saying the things of earth should not become our main mission. Our main mission is to help those that are in the boat with us to get to that shore safely. And the only way they're going to do that is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And that sin separates us from God. That one that made us, that one that wants a relationship with us, that one that wants us to be part of his family. Our sin, our disobedience, not living up to his standard, separates us from God. And we pay a penalty for that sin. And if we paid what we owed, listen to me, if we paid what we owed, every single one of us would be in hell this morning. But thank God we don't got to pay what we owe. Thank God somebody else paid it for us. Thank God that he devised a plan when we couldn't pay for our sin. He devised the plan so that his son, Jesus Christ, could pay for it. He sent him to a cross. As he hung on that cross, God laid upon him all of our sins, all of our transgressions. My sins, not in part, but in whole, are nailed to the cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. That's how we're going to make it to that shore. We sing that song sometimes. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Christ lifted me. He took me out of that sinking sand, set me on himself, the solid rock. And one of these days, I'm going to make it to that shore, the shore of heaven, where I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But you know what my prime responsibility is in this life? It's not to enjoy the things of this earth, although I enjoy the things of this earth. My prime responsibility is to help those that are in the boat with me get there too. Get there too. That's your prime responsibility if you know Christ as your Savior, is to help those that are in the boat with you get to that shore. And the only way they're going to do it is to come to Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We don't get to decide if and when the storms come. It's a work to hang on. It helps us reevaluate what's important, and it helps us realize that our main mission is to help other people get to that shore. Let me ask you this morning, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to get to that shore? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? What a shame it would be this morning if you went to all the trouble to get dressed up and to come to this place and to hear this message and then walk out without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. What a shame. I beg you not to do that. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, in just a second we're going to stand, we're going to sing an invitation song. If you're here and you're not saved, I just want you to walk down the aisle. You walk down the aisle, I'll get somebody to take this book and show you from God's Word how you can ask Jesus to be your Savior. Please don't leave here this morning without knowing that you are ready to get to that shore. To get to that shore. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that we get from it. Thank you that it tells us about our sin and what the penalty is for that sin. Thank you that it tells us about the love that you had for sinners when you sent Jesus to die in our place. Thank you for that verse that says, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Father, I pray for those that are here this morning that have not put their faith and trust in him. They still need to do that. And I pray, Father, in the next few moments that you would woo them to the Savior, that you would bring them to the Savior, and they would make that decision to receive him. So I ask you, dear God, to bless this time of invitation. Speak to everyone's heart. Many of us are Christians here this morning. Remind us why we're here. Remind us that we have a responsibility for those in the boat with us, that they too one day approach eternity. And what they've done with Jesus Christ will make the difference of where they spend it. And so, Father, help us to be a good testimony. Help us to be a witness. Help us to share our faith in Jesus Christ with others. So bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.